All right. Well, we are going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you want to stand, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. So it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, you can be seated. So the first thing that I want to point out, if you will put up the first slide, I wanted to show you how often these words are in this particular, from verses 2 to 8. Notice how often it says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, through the knowledge of him who called us. And then we're to add, giving all diligence, we're to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And then we see again in verse 8, for if these things are ours, we will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a lot about the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Lord and through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses. And so I want to focus on that. If you put up the second slide. Now this, I just wanted you to have like a word, kind of a picture. I wish I could just encircle grace and peace, because just think of it. Grace and peace is multiplied, it says, through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our grace and peace is multiplied. That's what it says, is that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we need to get to know him in every area. We talked about this last Sunday morning about walking in the presence of God. And the cool thing that happens when we begin to do that is the more that you begin to learn to pray about everything and to pray without ceasing, and when you feel anxious to pray, what happens is it begins to become a habit. And that is a great habit when prayer becomes your first response. When before you call somebody else, you pray. When before you run to the doctor, you pray. When before you, you know, freak out, you pray, you know, or if you're freaking out, that you do it and you pray, you know, and you allow God to help you through that freak out session, you know, because he will. He is there. It says, don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And so God knows, and it's okay for us to pray when we're anxious and to present those requests with thanksgiving. I've said lots of times, I use that verse as a formula when I find myself anxious. Okay, God, I thank you that you know this situation, that you know these people, that you know what I need better than I do. And then I begin to just lay out my request. So as we get to know him, we begin to think, what would God do in this situation? Prayer, I've often said, and it helps me to think of it this way, is inviting God into the situation. Inviting God into whatever we're facing, into our needs, into the situations with other people. When other people ask for prayer, that's the thing. When we agree in prayer, God, we are inviting you into the middle of this situation. We are inviting you to do what only you can do, because that's a wonderful thing to think of it that way. How would God respond to this? Inviting him into each situation and then growing in our knowledge of him through each situation. That's how we grow in our relationship with him. Verse 5 says one of the things that we're supposed to add to our faith is knowledge. This is one of the things that we're supposed to grow in, because if we keep growing, then we won't end up barren and unfruitful. We won't end up like a tree that has no fruit. And so knowledge, though, apart from him, can just cause arrogance. It can cause us to be puffed up. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, I want to show you this. It says, now the first part, it says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. So he was talking about things offered to idols because, like in the early church back in those days, that was a big deal. For us today, it's not really, we don't really have a bunch of idols as far as physical idols that meat is offered to and then sold in the meat store. So that's not really a thing for us, but it was for them. And so here, it says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have knowledge. But notice this, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Edifies is a building word. So it means love builds up. It continues, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, I messed up my typing here. Sometimes I leave my computer and things get added to things that I was typing. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. It continues, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So as Christians, the goal is not only to know God, as in us reaching toward God, but to be known by him. Him reaching towards us. And this was something that I really began to understand maybe a year or two ago, is that being known by God is a two-way street. That's why Matthew 7, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Because he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And then he says, because if you don't, then he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you is important, because it doesn't say depart from me because you never knew me. It says depart from me because I never knew you. Because knowing somebody is a two-way street. Relationship is a two-way street. I can know about somebody just the way I know about people that we read about in the newspapers or people that we see on TV, but I don't know them. I don't know them through relationship, and they certainly don't know me. Probably wouldn't even know my name and never heard of it, you know? And so that's not a relationship. God wants relationship with us, where we open our lives up to him and he is speaking to us and we are speaking to him. And so to know, be known in a relational way is a two-way street. He's God, obviously. He knows everything. He knows all about us, but he wants to know us in that relationship way. And so when Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, that's because people refuse to walk in relationship with him. If they don't open up their lives to relationship with him, then he will say, I never knew you, because they chose not to know him, not to allow him to know them. So when we do choose to walk in relationship with him, however, he teaches us how to love him so that we can keep his commandments, because he has always loved first. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Everything always starts with God. The grace comes from him, the strength comes from him, the power comes from him, the love comes from him, the invitation comes from him, the being chosen comes from him. Everything comes from him. He's the one that starts the relationship because he loves us, because he's so faithful. And so we need to walk in that knowledge. Now, as we walk in that knowledge through godly power, God has given us everything that we need to walk with him. 2 Peter 1:3 in the New Living Translation says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So through knowing him, we get everything we need to live a godly life. We really can keep simplifying the Christian life. I know Janine says the goal of the Christian life is to love God and love people. That's what Jesus, he condensed the commandments down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. because we can get so caught up in a bunch of other things. But if we will keep our eyes focused on, am I loving him? Is my life about loving him and loving others? Because that really is what it's about. And if we do those two things, everything else will come in line. And so that's why Jesus could say that. Through knowing him. Now, knowing him so that we hear his voice, so that we learn to know him. Psalm 27:8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. When we begin to spend time in God's presence, the more that we spend time in God's presence, the more that we get to know his voice and we learn to recognize his voice. Knowing him so that we do things his way. One of the things that happens as you get to know someone is you get to learn their ways. Rick talked this morning about our navigation discussions. That's been a thing for like 25 years. Okay, anybody that knows me, I will just admit it. For whatever reason, my sister got all of the direction that my mom had. Like, my mom is very good at directions. And I said, you know, I mean, really, you could have given me some. Like, you didn't have to give it all to her. Because Janine has a very good sense of direction. And she got it all. Thankfully, my husband actually does have a very good sense of direction. He can go somewhere once, seriously, at night, and go back there 5 years later and remember how to get there. Meanwhile, I can go somewhere 5 times in the daytime, and I'm still setting my GPS to get out of the neighborhood that I went to drop off my kid at, you know, because I'm like, no, I have to mentally, and this was a hard thing for him to understand for a long time because it comes so easily to him. He's like, seriously, why don't you just pay attention? I'm like, even if I pay attention, I'm not joking. I'm making a left here, so I need to make a right on the way out. I'm making a right here, so that's two rights. It does not come easily to me. It is a lot of work, okay? But through our relationship, what has happened is I have learned that, and he has learned, like he said, the truth is sometimes it is better for our marriage. Babe, just pull over and look at the map yourself, because otherwise, you know, we're going to have an issue here because he's asking me questions that I don't know the answers to. We've learned that through relationship as we've walked together and as we've had all of these experiences. This is what happens with our relationship with God. Much of our relationship and learning to know God's voice is sometimes through missing it. Sometimes, and God is so merciful, sometimes you miss it and you go, okay, well, maybe that wasn't God. I thought that that was God, but it wasn't God. But you learn through that. Then sometimes you're like, I think this is God, but we're going to see. If it pans out, then I'll know that it was God. I mean, and sometimes that's how we learn the voice of God. Sometimes I have to wait and see if what I heard really was God or not. Sometimes I step out in faith and, you know, being willing to be obedient to God, and he shows me that it was him because he's so faithful. But if we don't learn knowledge through relationship with God, then what happens is we can end up arrogant and empty like the Pharisees. Because see, knowledge apart from relationship with God is dangerous, really, because it causes us to be prideful. The Pharisees had all of this knowledge, even of biblical things, but because they didn't have relationship with the Father, they were arrogant and empty. And that can happen to us in the church. If our knowledge is not ultimately about Jesus, like even biblical knowledge, we can get caught up, and I've seen this happen to people in the church, where they get all caught up in figuring out, you know, this verse of like where Cain got his wife, or, you know, this verse that they don't understand. Listen, it is good to seek to understand the word of God, but only as it pertains to God, show me yourself, teach me about you. And we have to continually keep it about him and about relationship with him. And God, you, Holy Spirit, are the one who wrote this. You can teach me, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2:13 says. So our knowledge doesn't enable us to live a godly life unless it is knowledge of and through him. But as we walk with him and we allow him to teach us, then he will begin to teach us about himself through the word. The goal of the word is to teach us about him and to enable us to walk like him. like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That is why the word is given, is to teach us how to live and how to walk. And so our goal as Christians should continually be, God, teach me how to be like you. Show me you through your word. Let me not just grow in my knowledge so that I can feel, you know, powerful and know so much, but let me grow in my knowledge of you. This is the goal. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the goal, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of him in our relationship with him. 2 Peter 1:8-9, and I'm going to wrap this up and we're going to get ready for communion. 2 Peter 1:8-9, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to just have knowledge. We want to have knowledge that is fruitful, that draws us to be more like Jesus, that we're putting into practice in our lives, that gives us understanding of who he is and of how to live out this life that he has called us to live. For he, verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said, they are blind leading the blind. They were blind. This says that if you don't do these things that it said in 2 Peter, it said you will be short-sighted even to blindness. And I believe that's what happened with the Pharisees. And we don't ever have to allow that to happen. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we allow him to grow us and change us and teach us, if we keep growing through adding to our faith, through knowing the Lord Jesus, we don't have to worry about being unfruitful. Simplify it and make it about Jesus. And listen, I am learning to pray, like I said, about everything. When I feel like, God, I'm not sure I can do this, I pray about it. When I'm overwhelmed, I pray about it. When I, you know, have a need, I pray about it. When I don't know if I know what to do, I pray about it. We can pray about everything, and then we invite him into every situation of our lives. And then we don't have to worry about being unfruitful, and we won't end up blind with amnesia, because that's what it says happened. Is forgotten that they were cleansed from their own sins. Do not get spiritual amnesia. Don't forget what you've been cleansed of. We should never forget. John 17:3. Part of Jesus, he said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is the goal, is to know him. So tonight we're going to take communion. If you did anyone not get communion? Okay, if y'all, Brother Jim or Brother Dan, they're going to bring in so you can get the communion elements. Jesus said to take communion to remember him. We sometimes choose not to remember the hard things. Like when our family members, when people that we love go through hard things, those are not typically the things that you talk about when you remember them. Because you don't want to remember the hard things. You want to remember the good times. You know, we don't choose to dwell on those things. But Jesus told us to remember because the cross is so important. Because it reminds us of what he did and what it means for us. And it's so important. So he told us to remember those things. Jude, this actually a couple of weeks ago, he went through a time and I saw him. He was just looking at the Bible, and he was his little toddler Bible, and he was looking specifically at the part where Jesus died on the cross. And I had been praying, God, give him a revelation of you, Lord Jesus. And for a few nights, every night, he wanted to read about Jesus dying on the cross. And I thought, God, you know, even at 4, God is the one who gives revelation. And we can say to God, God, would you give me a new revelation? Would you let me understand how powerful the cross is and what you did on the cross for us and what that means for the world? Because it is a powerful revelation. And it makes all the difference in our lives. And so let's take time. Jacob's going to play a video, and I challenge you. 1 Corinthians 11 says that we should examine ourselves and allow God to just deal with us and keep our hearts pure before him. And so I just challenge you, as the song plays, just allow the Lord to examine your heart, to search your heart. Allow God to speak to you. Prepare. Just begin to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And then we're going to take communion together.